Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Have you looked at your skin lately? Since the coronavirus shutdown, many of us haven't been able to take good care of it. From head to toe, we are dry, we are cracked, and otherwise washed some 20 times a day or more, looking and feeling like alligators. Well, tonight, we're going to talk about taking care of your skin during the shutdown. My guest is dermatologist Dr. Melanie Macklin. We wanted to let you know that this is a special previously recorded edition of the Insight segment. As a result, we are not taking phone calls tonight, but I'm quite sure that we will provide plenty of information for you for the many questions that you may ask. You are certainly welcome to tweet us, however, using the hashtag WHURFM. Dr. Macklin, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Yes, no, thank you, Harold, for inviting me, because this is certainly a hot topic, and
yes.
I'm happy to help to provide as much information for your listeners, so thank you.
Yes, we really need help in this area because, as I said, a lot of us are just feeling kind of yucky right now. We just really don't have it together as a result of our skin. Let's kind of talk about where we are right now. Because of the pandemic, we've been told to make sure that we wash our hands. Also,
yes.
Wear gloves, use the hand sanitizer. You know, for example, let me just start with, you know, the very first thing, the hand washing thing. Not a bad idea. But even when you're washing your hands, literally 15 to 20, sometimes more a day, what does that do to your skin?
Yeah, well, definitely. You know, I have to say this, that is washing the hands and using hand sanitizer, Harold, is a very critical part of reducing the spread of the virus. I mean, even just as of yesterday, the CDC emphasizes that this coronavirus, this COVID-19, is primarily a person-to-person contact sort of virus. So washing the hands is very critical. But what's happening is we're not used to washing our hands as much as we're doing. So we're creating excessive dryness on the hands. The hands are just kind of probably splitting in some areas on the palms. And, you know, we're using whatever sort of soap, which are generally not as irritating, but when you're using them in excess, then that can become a problem. And then also with the hand sanitizers, we're using that way more than we've ever done. And Harold, you know, these hand sanitizers have greater than 60% alcohol in order to fight off the virus. So we're excessively hand washing our hands. We're using all this hand sanitizer. So as you just said, a lot of us are walking around looking like alligator skin on our hands.
Yeah, you know, that's – and, you know, and I'm a big stickler about washing, you know, hands anyway. Pre-COVID, you know, you go to the mall, you go into the men's room, you know, you wash your hands, and then some people don't. You give them the side eye, you know. You know, what's going on over there? You know, and so, you know, all jokes aside, you know, that even prior to the pandemic shutdown, you know, the hand washing thing is a really serious issue. Let's talk real basic stuff right now about soap and skin. We all know that any soap will kill the virus. But let's talk a little bit about some of the basics. Does it matter for your skin and cleanliness and care of your skin, the skin on your hands, whether the water is warm or cold, does it make a difference?
Well, certainly the higher temperature along with the soap is going to be more effective than just using cold water with the soap. It, you know, the warm water helps to kind of activate some of the ingredients that are in the hand soaps and so forth. You know, quite honestly, some people are allergic to some of these hand soaps. I'm one as an example. So you might want to, you know, we know that hand washing is actually preferred over the hand sanitizers. Good old-fashioned soap in warm water is actually the best against, passing along the virus. But I think it's more important, Harold, too, that when people are washing their hands, if they're noticing that they may have like some itching on their hands, redness that's popping up after using the soaps, then you know what? They may actually be allergic to some of the ingredients that's in some of the hand soaps because they can be quite irritating. Mm-hmm. So I would definitely have someone to say if they're seeing some itching and redness, that they look at the ingredients that's on the packaging so that then moving forward, they can reduce their risk of that irritant or allergic dermatitis. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes people don't think about that. They're just thinking, oh, my hands may be itching. You know, there's an old myth that they say if your hands are itching, you're about to get more money. I don't
right.
know if you've heard that before, but, you know, that's always a great thing, by the way. But certainly during this time, if someone is having some itching, after they've washed their hands, then that can signify that they may have what we call like an allergic contact dermatitis. And they would, you know, they could simply, you know, help to do this from an over-the-counter perspective with something like hydrocortisone ointment that they can get at the drugstore. Unfortunately, it's not that easy for many of us to get to the doctor's offices at this time because of the, you know, the overwhelming need to care for the COVID patients. But yeah, the soaps can certainly have an irritating component. So people should certainly pay attention to any mm-hmm. symptoms that they're having on their hands outside of them just being dry.
So let's assume, for example, that allergic reactions are not the issue, mm-hmm. but because you can open any social media platform these days and you can see someone complaining about, you know, the dryness of the hands.
Yeah. Yes.
And the ashiness, the,
yeah,
where your hands look like you've been baking bread.
Yeah.
You know, so after you wash, well, let me back up a little bit. Will moisturizing, if you buy a moisturizing soap, whether it's, I don't know, Dove or something else, mm-hmm. The cleanliness is not the issue, but do they really work?
Yes. Well, you know, the soaps that contain, you know, some sort of hydrating properties, they're really not going to retain in the skin as much because you're still washing your hands off and drying them. So I suggest that folks carry around, there are some really great heavy hand creams that contain ingredients like petrolatum, shea butter or cocoa butter, even just white plain petroleum jelly, which, you know, we've known for years in the brand name of Vaseline. But the key is after you have washed your hands, just use a little bit of any one of those heavy creams, because I think a lot of people are probably guilty of just washing their hands, drying them off, and keeping it moving.
Right.
But, of course, that's not a great thing because we're washing our hands in excessive amounts than what we normally would in a regular time frame. So keeping that kind of, you know, there's a lot of sample size or small size where guys can keep in their, you know, front pocket and women can keep in their purse or handy, and just frequent application of that after you wash your hands. Now, Harold, there are also some what we call like some barrier hand creams. I'm not sure if you've heard of those before.
Barrier hand creams?
Barrier, B-A-R-R-I-E-R. Mm-hmm. And what they actually do is to, you know, they actually provide like a protective layer on your hands, you know, of course, invisible, but it keeps the, it traps in the moisture. So then even after you've washed your hands and you apply this barrier cream, it's going to help to retain the moisture in your hands. And so a lot of people like those type of products as well, especially if they know they're prone to getting excessive dryness. And quite honestly, the barrier creams are great because there is, you know, some efficacy as far as protecting against other contaminants from entering your hand. So there's some barrier creams that can actually stay effective on the hands throughout multiple hand washings for like up to 8 hours.
Hmm.
So sometimes those products are hard to come by, but I do submit to, you know, to folks to, you know, check that out because they can be effective at helping to really retain the moisture in the hands and also kind of, you know, blocking out some of those extra contaminants that won't really necessarily get through the hand. So they're great. I love it.
I'm talking to Dr. Melanie Macklin. She's a dermatologist. We're talking about taking care of your skin during the coronavirus shutdown. We're not taking any phone calls as this is a previously recorded program, but certainly we are going to ask as many questions and get as much information as we can for you in taking care of your skin from head to toe and particularly your hands. Dr. Macklin, one of the things that I have noticed, and this is only since the shutdown. This is about some dark spots, kind of dry on my hands that I've never ever noticed before. Mm-hmm. What might that be? Is that just another form of dryness?
Well, is it on one hand or both hands?
It is between my pinky and ring finger on both hands, but it's just below the webbing, but it's just kind of dry and dark. It's not severe, but I did notice it.
Okay. And it sounds like the likely cause of what may be doing that is that and we're all guilty of it. When we wash our hands, you know, very thoroughly, we may not wipe and dry our hands very thoroughly. So we can create at the areas of like the web spacing that you just mentioned in between the fingers, those can get a little more dry and irritated because of the moisture that has been retained from not drying the hands well enough. It's kind of similar here to when you know, we tell people to, you know, of course, when they wash their feet, we want to make sure that they spread their toes and dry in between the toes because if that moisture stays in between the toes, it can cause a bacteria or yeast or fungal buildup in those areas. So that's likely what the issue would be. Certainly, if it's something that's persistent and that or getting darker, then of course you would want to get that checked out. But I think just simply trying to dry your hands more after you wash them would be key, as well as using some of the heavy hand creams, and you probably could benefit from the barrier cream that I spoke of, so that can just really kind of give a protective layer to your skin. Mm-hmm. And honestly, something simple is like hydrocortisone that you can pick up at your drugstore. Try that for about a week or so and see if that makes an improvement.
Okay.
I think you'd be happy with that because that's the most likely thing, especially since you did not have this issue pre-excessive hand washing time period.
Okay. I need to take a break, but you brought up so many issues, hands, feet. I want to talk about heads, for example, for people who shave their heads or who are bald. Also, of course, since we're in a pandemic, and we're going to talk about how this is impacting some of those frontline health workers who are constantly wearing masks.
Yes,
we're going to talk about that in a bit, too. But please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. The original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This conversation on Sirius XM Channel 141 will be back in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our discussion about caring for your skin during the COVID-19 shutdown. My guest is dermatologist Dr. Melanie Macklin. We want to remind you that this is a special previously recorded edition of the Insights segment. We are not taking any phone calls tonight. Okay, so let's talk a little bit more. You were talking about feet, and there's so much to be said.
Our favorite topic, right, Harold?
Okay, and it could very well be because right now, even though a lot of regions are in phase one, but and this is particularly the case for women. There's been a lot of concern about not being able to get a manicure or a pedicure, and a lot of people are working from home, and so you're not may wear bedroom slippers around the house. It's your house. You may or may not wear socks around your house. What kind of issues might you have, with your feet, since you're not able to get to the salon where you can get a pedicure? I mean, are feet a little more crusty, a little more dusty, a little more rusty right now?
Right. Well, you bring up a very valid point, because I can tell you, Harold, we women, at least the majority of women, we really do care about our feet, and we want not to worry about having the crusty hard heels or the the bunions or corns on the feet. And actually, during this time where we're not having to have our feet in shoes for a lengthy time during the day, our feet should actually overall look better, because when we're wearing shoes and walking around, and if the shoes are slightly tight, there's rubbing and friction on the top of the toes and on the heels. So this is actually a great time, Harold, for just self-care from head to toe, literally, because your feet are getting a break from wearing those shoes. You can start getting some of my favorite foot creams have either a salicylic acid in there, which can help to exfoliate off some of those old dead skin cells. There's also foot creams that contain urea that they do the same. They help to kind of remove and soften some of those old dead skin cells on the heels. This is actually a time where our feet are getting a break, and they mm-hmm. can start looking better. Now, I know it may be tough for some folks to polish, the toes, because I know we love to have our, at least I know I do, I
right.
love to have, the pretty colors on the toes, but this is where, you can pick up any nail polish on Amazon or the drugstore, whatever, and that's a pretty much easy do-it-yourself sort of deal. So, honestly, people should have better-looking feet during this time, because they're not, having all the rubbing, and we women, we like to wear these tight heels, the squeezing of the feet, and mm-hmm. we grin and bear it. And then when you take the shoes off, you see the adverse effects of just really literally bearing through the pain of the tight shoes. So, but I do want to say that just like we talked about with the hands earlier here with, people not really drying between the fingers, it's so important with feet that, we get out the shower and we just may tap the towel on the top of our feet and the bottom of our feet, but we can often be guilty of not getting in between the wet spaces. And that's so important. And that's especially important for folks that are diabetics, because there can be, you know, the feeder, the web spaces can start getting an excess fungal or yeasty buildup, and then that can create problems. So we definitely want to make sure that after we've showered, that we really pay closely attention to wiping between the toes. And for those folks that may have some issues, if they look between their toes or and find some moisture there or some scaling, you know, like the skin looking extra dry on the bottom of the feet,
right?
It certainly couldn't hurt to go on and use one of the antifungal creams. You know, there's like Lotrimin, Chlortrimazole, there's Lamisil. There's a lot of different antifungals that it wouldn't hurt to just do a two-week treatment with that, just to make sure that if there are any underlying fungus or yeast growing on, you know, in between the toes or on the feet, that those areas can likely clear up. So if you had a problem, after you do that, you're likely to not have that problem anymore. So, yeah, that's something easy to do.
What about the toenails, for example? If they are, and let's assume, for example, that you don't have any of the underlying medical conditions related to diabetes or the like, but just you may have, the nail may be a little cracked, or it may be a little, you know, dark or what have you. Is that a fungus, or what is that?
Well, when it comes to the actual nail itself, typically it's fungus that creates a lot of the issues that go on with the actual nail, where the nail may be yellowish in color. Mm-hmm. It may be crumbly and brittle. So those are kind of signs that we look for if you have nail fungus. And unfortunately, you know, topical products are really not effective for nail fungus. We have to generally use an oral antifungal for it to get in our system. Now, there's a lot of companies out here that market, you know, this is the best topical fungicide for your nail, but quite frankly, it's not penetrating deep enough to really get to the nail matrix for it to even make a difference. So this is, you know, unfortunately with nail fungus, a person would definitely have to speak to their doctor, preferably a dermatologist who can prescribe the right oral antifungal, and that treatment can, you know, take anywhere from 3 to 6 months while the nail is growing out, but it is doable. But you know, so yeah, it's we love our feet and
yes,
we want them to look nice, but we certainly have to follow some protective measures to ensure that they keep looking nice. But one really quick point here that you just spoke about, and I want to touch on it, is the darkness. If someone is having some darkness of their nail, especially if it's looking brownish to black, that's something that is highly suspicious and needs to be evaluated. Because, and I'm so glad you brought this up, because this is it's not really a topic that's really discussed much, but a isolated toenail that is, you know, brownish in color or black in color, and you don't have a history of bumping that toe, then that needs to be looked at right away, because it could be an underlying melanoma. Hmm. Now, you know, we always say, oh, you know, folks of color, we don't typically get skin cancer. But if we do get skin cancer, Harold, it's going to be of the melanoma type, which can, you know, happen, you know, in areas, what we call the acral areas of folks of color body, which are the hands or the feet, the ears, or the scalp. That's where we would be, you know, we have to pay attention to those areas and look for any unusual brown to black marks or bumps. And so it's very critical. I'll never forget during my training at Washington Hospital Center, I had a patient she was well into her 90s, and it was a consult patient. And I was there, she was in the ICU, and I was literally there to evaluate a rash that she had on her chest area. At least that's, you know, that's what the attending doctor called me to consult on. Well, you know, I'm a person, I'm anal about looking at everything. Just because they told me to come in there and look at her chest, I said, you know what, let me just do a full body skin check. Well, what do you know, Harold? I found a very, very dark area on her big toe. One of the family members said, oh, you know, my grandmother was whatever, just probably bumped her toe. And I said, I'm not so sure about this. Mm-hmm. So actually did a biopsy of the area, Harold, and it was a quite deep melanoma.
Wow.
And that was on its way to getting into her bloodstream. And, you know, at that age, because she was in her 90s, you're like, okay, well, we don't want to chop off her toe or chop, you know, cut off her ankle to prevent spread because of her age. But there was some aggressive measures that was taken with that big toe to prevent spread because it was at such an aggressive stage. So I say all that to say that it really is imperative that we all do at least in every 6 months, head-to-toe skin check.
Yes.
And it's something you could do on your own or your spouse or partner or whomever to, you know, go through and look all the way through the scalp, look through all crevices and areas of the body and down to the bottom of the feet, because this is one, you know, this is something that's often underdiagnosed because we just say, oh, I just bumped my, you know, bumped my nail or whatever. But it could be something that's more evil that's lurking, like a melanoma, which is a highly aggressive one, especially in our of color population.
I do want to ask you.
The toe skin check is critical.
I do want to ask you about overall skin care. So if you get out of the shower, and this is real elementary, mm-hmm. but maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
If, you know, once you get out of the shower and you dry off and you apply, what should you apply? I mean, is baby oil okay? lotion okay? What about coconut oil? I've heard a lot about that, about people using coconut oil for their, you know, their face, their arms, their body. What do you apply?
Right. Well, certainly when we get out the shower, and especially if we want to try to get folks to avoid too hot of a shower, because that really would dry that skin out and it's really going to start looking like alligator skin no matter how much creams that you slather on after you've dried off. But so, you know, I actually encourage more of the lukewarm to hot instead of hot showers. So we definitely want to emphasize that. But yes, to your point of when you step out of the shower, you know, some sort of moisture retention is important with whatever, you know, whatever one's favorite lotion is. I think it's just the idea that you need to put some sort of oils back onto the skin so that it's not dried out. Because dry skin is itchy skin. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but if I get out of the shower and I haven't put on anything, I'm itching in about an hour or so because of the dryness that has set in. So whatever, you know, lotions that someone wants to use, that's fine. You mentioned coconut oil. I'm not a fan for coconut oil all over. There's some people that can have, you know, allergic reactions or become very sensitive to the coconut oil. And certainly you don't want to use that type of oil on your face because that can create a whole acne-like reaction because it's too much of a heavy oil to put on the face.
Well, hold that point. Because I have to take another break, but I want to pick that back up on the other side. And also, I do want to get to dealing with our frontline workers with these masks and also get some scalp advice as well for, you know, for the guys who are bald headed. But stay with us. This conversation will continue on SiriusXM channel 141. We're talking about taking care of your skin during the coronavirus shutdown. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our discussion about caring for your skin during the COVID-19 shutdown. My guest is dermatologist Dr. Melanie Macklin. Before the break, Dr. Macklin, we were talking about what to put on your body to take care of your skin when you step out of the shower or the bath. You were saying coconut oil for full body, maybe not the best thing. Please go ahead and finish your point.
Yes, I was saying that the coconut oil, because there's a lot of companies that are making lots of mixtures with using coconut oil and shea butter and adding essential oils. And although all of that, you know, sounds lovely, it can also create allergic or irritant problems. So this is where I always try to tell folks, if you have a symptom going on or some sort of strange rash or itching, I always say, you know, what soaps, what lotions, let's talk about that first, because it likely may be something very simple that what you're using to wash your body with or whatever lotion that you're using. So, you know, people definitely have to be mindful of whatever symptoms they're having and really go and check that their soaps and lotions. But definitely a no-no to some of the heavy oils, like the coconut oil or even like the cocoa butter. Those don't belong on the face because it can certainly start clogging up the skin pores. And now we've got another problem of acne starting. So Who wants acne after their teen years? I don't.
So what goes on the face for those, you know, particularly for those people who, you know, nurses and doctors who are wearing masks all day, and even for folks like me who only wear a mask if I happen to leave the house, and I may not leave the house for a few days. Let's talk about the medical folks first.
Yes, I'm so glad that you brought that up because, yes, our frontline workers, the doctors and the nurses and the like, you know, they're having to wear these masks all for long hours during the day. And when I tell you of the complaints and the pictures, you know, that I've seen of the side effects from having the mask on too long, I mean, one of the main things is that, you know, when you have this mask on, you're talking, and so there's still some moisture that you're releasing from your mouth that is potentially building up in the mask and creating a lot of moisture underneath the mask. And so I liken that to diaper rash. You know, babies with the diapers, and if the diaper's been on too long and the baby's been wet for too long, then now the baby's got this lovely red, you know, itchy, you know, likely pus bumps.
So what should we do? What should we put on our faces for that?
So something like, you know, first of all, trying to remove the mask and washing the face as often. Someone can keep, you know, baby wipes in there nearby where they're working and just, you know, take the mask off really quickly and wipe the face off. That would be, you know, that would be one great way of reducing that risk of the moisture. But also there's like some barrier creams out here that have like, you know, zinc oxide, which actually there's a lot of, that type of ingredient can be found in some of the sunscreens or sunblocks, like a sunblock. So instead of just wearing the regular sunscreen lotion, they might want to consider using a sunblock, which has the heavier zinc oxide paste in there that acts as a barrier. So remember how we were talking about earlier the barrier type of hand creams to kind of trap in the moisture. That same sort of barrier concept is used in sunblock so that when you apply it, there's, you know, you're less likely for that moisture to really get inside, to absorb inside the skin, if you will. So definitely washing the face, and then, you know, washing the mask, Harold, is another thing. Now, when healthcare workers, they're changing their masks, you know, the hospitals, or at least as long as the hospitals have enough mask on hand, but some healthcare workers, I know some of my doctor colleagues that are working the front line are saying that they don't even have access to fresh new masks every day. So what they're having to do is to wash you know, wash the mask, which is, you know, unfortunate. But the more often that someone can change and get a fresh new mask for our healthcare workers, that's the most important, because they are wearing that mask for a long time during the day. And you think about, you know, you breathing in and out, and, you know, your droplets are getting on the mask, and then that's now touching your face. So it's best if someone can just use the mask for that day and then toss it in the trash.
Okay.
But
go ahead, real quick.
Yes, really quickly. I wanted to say that that, you know, the one thing that we're not really thinking about with the mask is that the length of time that we're wearing it. See, we breathe in oxygen and we exhale carbon dioxide, Harold. Well, carbon dioxide can burn, and so we're seeing people with burns on their lips because they're pretty much breathing back in that carbon dioxide that they exhaled. My brother, who's a plastic surgeon, sent me a picture from one of his nurses with extensive burns on her lips, and she's not a cigarette smoker. And the only thing that changed is her having to wear that, you know, N95 cone mask and for a good majority of the day. And so now she's created these lip burns. So it's unfortunate, the side effects, but we have to stay safe, you know, for ourselves. I guess we can all, you know, the lip burns will go away, or the other skin side effects will improve. You know, but because we more importantly have to keep ourselves and others safe. But I
Let me ask you real quick, because I only have about 2 minutes left. I'm not bald, but I shave my head.
Yes.
And what do I need to apply to my scalp after shaving to make sure that it's not dry? Like I said, I only have about a minute and a half or so.
Yes, I mean, pretty much any sort of like creams that you would use on any other part of the body. You really don't have to use a specialty hair cream of any sort, but it definitely needs to have some sort of sunscreen or sunblock in there. And we often don't think about that. We, you know, men think, oh, you know, as long as the head is not shiny, it's not dry, but we also have to protect, you know, your head from potential skin cancers. So that's very important. You know, whatever type of cream that you want to use, it has that's a moisturizer, but look for ones, that have the SPF, or just buy a separate SPF cream to use on top of whatever that you use. But that's a very critical point as a preventive of getting skin cancer on the scalp. And also just trying to wear a hat if you are out in the sun for long periods of time, because that scalp is definitely a hot spot for getting melanoma and other types of skin cancer.
Well, these days, being inside, I guess I don't have to worry about that too much. But eventually, all of this will be over, and I think that's a great place to end the conversation, knowing that, you know, for the guys who are naturally bald or guys who just like to shave like myself, you definitely do have to protect your head. Dr. Melanie Macklin, dermatologist, I want to thank you so much for spending some time with us during this special pre-recorded edition of the Insight segment on the Daily Drum. I certainly want to encourage you to continue to keep your skin healthy and beautiful, as well as with all of the people who are within the sound of this broadcast. So again, thank you so much for spending some time with us.
Yes, so thank you. Everyone, stay home is the best, and stay safe and socially distant.
There you go.
Thanks, Hale, for the opportunity.
Absolutely, and certainly have a wonderful spring and summer. That is the Daily Drum for this Wednesday, May 27th. I'm Harold Fisher. Now, stay safe and stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.